Logoria.
Welcome to the Logoria podcast, the arts and entertainment podcast where we word vomit about whatever we want, primarily arts and entertainment. My name's Clark Hubbard.
My name's Corey Adams.
I'm Emma McLeod.
And can we just give a big snap to Corey? Because Corey just said his full name for the first time, and this is the fifth episode.
This is the first time I've said my full name, too. You started a trend.
I have started a trend. But Corey usually messes it up, so I'm just proud of him.
Yeah.
This is a proud moment for us all. Corey, do you have anything to say?
I would like to thank my parents.
That's good.
For raising me and giving me the name.
Good. All right. Well, we have a special episode this time. First of all, Corey is allegedly going to get this episode up onto iTunes, which would be really sweet.
No way. He said
it's simple, but I don't really believe him.
I have connections.
He has connections. Wow. We also have a That Was Easy button. So if you hear that, we're going to use it for our game, but we've also just got it here. Also, we did an interview with the fantastic band Jukebox the Ghost.
Yes.
Emma and I did a phone interview, so we're going to be playing that a couple times throughout the episode. We'll just be splitting that up, though. So let's start out with our first section. We're going to talk about movies first, and the movies that we've seen in the last few weeks since our last episode. Emma, would you like to start?
Okay, so I haven't seen much in theaters lately. I saw Black Panther, which I know like pretty much everyone and their dog has seen, which I absolutely loved because I went in with zero expectations and saw it the weekend it came out, but everyone I know who went and saw it with expectations didn't like it. So I think I won on that side of the deal, which is good. But I also saw a classic, Midnight in Paris, on Netflix, which I've talked with you about, Clark.
Absolutely.
But I felt decently about it. I feel like it's a beautiful movie, but kind of a predictable movie. But I would watch it again.
But
so
what were the parts that you really liked about it? Was it like a it was a well done movie, right?
Yeah. Here's the deal. I am an okay Owen Wilson girl. Like he's decent, but he tends to like be a dad in movies.
He is a dad.
And so anytime Owen Wilson is in it, I'm like, well, this is endearing, but it's Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
He's about endearing and that's it, you know?
It's a Owen Wilson prejudice towards movies.
It's what it is.
So, Night at the Museum. I mean,
but like, what was the movie about?
Okay, it was about this writer in Paris who goes with his terrible fiance, and he like wishes he was in the 1920s, and
okay.
He goes to the 1920s.
Okay,
he pretty much spends the whole movie in the 1920s.
Yeah.
It's
like
strange.
He would go.
It's very strange.
I don't know how he got back and forth, but he would just go back and forth.
The car would just show up, and he would just get in it. They'd be like, "Come on, Gil."
Welcome back to the 1920s, where everyone talks like this. All right,
Corey. But Tom Hiddleston was in it.
Tom Hiddleston.
That
makes it.
That redeemed it.
That makes it. Yeah. Corey, what movie you got?
A Quiet Place.
Okay.
Jealous.
So, a lot of people know John Krasinski from The Office.
Amen.
And you think that he's like funny, and he makes his face, and it's really funny and things. But then you see it.
He's funny, and he makes a face, and he's really funny.
It's exactly what you expect from John Krasinski. No, but then you see him in a completely different light in A Quiet Place. You have this movie that does a really different thing. It's sort of a thriller. It's, you know, scary like you've seen in the trailers and stuff. But then there's a lot of aspects of it that you don't really get in the trailers. I was surprised by some of it. And it ended up being a solid movie overall. It pulls at your heart some, and there's just, I don't know, it's really a really good movie. To see there's a lot of jump scares because, I mean, it's a quiet place and then things get loud sometimes.
Yep.
But it is a very solid movie. There's not too much I can really say.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's a lot of surprises that you don't really know about from the trailers. And I think they did a really good job of making it interesting and making me want to see it without showing a lot of things that made the movie good.
Yeah. So this was Krasinski's first movie that he directed, right?
Yes. It is his directorial debut.
That's awesome. And he cast his wife as his lead next to him.
Yep, for sure. So you can sort of see that in their acting, in their
good chemistry.
Their chemistry on screen that they have prior experience with each other and that they are married.
I heard that he pitched it to her, like he told her about it, and she was like, "Hey, can I be the girl in this?" And he was like, "Yeah." And that's literally all happened.
That sounds
like
perfect.
It wasn't his idea.
Like, it wasn't like she was like, "I'm gonna so make this a movie is with my wife. She sort of just asked.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's amazing. Well, the movie that I want to talk about is The Evil Dead, which is like 1981. It was Sam Raimi who made the Spider-Man. No, the first one, The Evil Dead. So Sam Raimi, who later did the first Spider-Man series with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, no. Oh,
this okay. This is one of his first movies. Maybe his first. I don't remember. But it's just a classic possession zombie movie. No. One of those old 80s horror movies. And I started watching it with my friend Josh Welsh. And what we were doing was like a Mystery Science Theater where we were just like commenting on how bad it was when we started out. And it's like that. It's a 90-minute movie, give or take. And for like the first hour, it's just cheesy. And it's just like, ugh, this is the worst. And like all these plot twists that you totally see coming. But then like the last 30 minutes were really intense and really good. Like a really good, like one of the best horror films that I've ever seen. And I don't usually watch horror films, but it was just well done.
It's on
and
Netflix?
Like, no, it is not. I bought it, I think, at Walmart in like a double pack.
Oh.
It's definitely solid, though. So give that a watch, The Evil Dead. And then you can Mystery Science Theater it and then slowly grow scared as you go along with it.
Okay. Grow scared. I've only seen one horror movie, and that's why I didn't go see The Quiet Place.
What horror movie?
Because
we have to hear this.
The Strangers.
The Strangers.
The Strangers was.
Is that the sequel to
Camus'
no book?
There's no point to it, but it's a true story, which makes it even worse.
That's what I hated about it when they
the
told
whole
the
time
story.
I was like, I can't handle this. It's too
intense
because it was real and
yeah. It's not like the
awful
ghosty movies where you're like, oh, okay,
no,
whatever.
It's literally
like
these
the Paranormal Activity
show up
stuff, but it's just like this is so real and it could happen and that it did happen.
Yeah, and so I decided I'm just never going to see a horror movie again.
There you go. Well, let's get into our first round of questions that we have today. I've prepared 9 questions for Emma and Corey, and they are all based off of Jukebox the Ghost, which is the band that we did the interview with, and the band whose music you'll hear throughout this episode. They've given us permission. I can show you the Twitter DMs that I have with them. This is all perfectly legal. So with that, let's start out with some questions. Corey says he doesn't know anything about them, which is great. This is exactly what I want. All right. So, first question we have here, true or false? And you guys, I want to see your hands on the table. Hands on the table.
Wait, do we hit the button?
You do. Whoever hits the button first. True or false, Ben Thornwill, the pianist and one of the singers of the band, can and does play 2 instruments with keys at the same time when they play live.
He hit it twice.
Okay.
True.
That is true.
Yes.
I was going to guess true.
I bet you were, but you didn't hit it fast enough. And here, he can play keyboard and piano, and it's beautiful and amazing. So that's 1 point for Emma. She's already pulling ahead, way ahead of Corey.
I will never catch up.
Probably
Let's
not.
Let's just remember last time we played a game and I won.
That's true. That's
for all. The record, do I have to wait for the question to be over before I answer?
No, you do not.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Second question. Which Jukebox the Ghost song?
What the heck?
All right, Corey. All right.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to finish asking the question, and Emma gets a chance to answer.
Okay. Cool.
Which Jukebox the Ghost song made a cameo in Clark's film he made sophomore year? Oh, that's my film.
What?
If you would have watched my film, if you were a true believer.
I watched
the film
but
about?
I didn't know
What's
the question.
Film about?
The film is about a prank that my RA played on me freshman year, where he pranked me really good.
I feel like the RA shouldn't do that.
I think so, too. But three choices.
Oh, I'm really.
Everybody scared. Knows, Somebody, or Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, for sure.
Final
is it a
answer?
Cover of the old one? Isn't there an old song called that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with that one.
You're wrong. Corey, you get to guess again.
He gets to steal, even though
Everybody knows.
That's correct.
Ugh.
Wow.
Everybody knows.
Okay,
all right,
bye.
Tied. It's 1-1. Last question in this first round. What is the first word on Jukebox the Ghost's new album?
The first word?
Mm-hmm. That
was easy. Wait, are there choices?
Yeah, but you already hit the button.
No! which one was there? Was Jumpstart there first?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Hey.
Oh, no. Corey, the options we have are Strictly, Smells, and Sensual.
Okay. I'm going to go with Strictly.
That is correct. Corey Adams pulls into a 2-1 lead, even though Emma McLeod is the only one of the two who has actually listened
to them. Well, I haven't seen your film.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't know what you have to say about that. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
I think we're seeing who's the real number one fan of Jukebox Box the Ghost.
You don't know anything about it. You just leaned over.
I know. Everybody knows. I sang it.
You did. He did know that. He knew that one song. So, speaking of Jukebox the Ghost, though, let's play the first part of that interview right here. This intro music is by them. Hey, Tommy, this is Clark.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. I am here with Emma McLeod, and we've just got some questions.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
So, first, where are you guys headed today? Do you have a show tonight?
Yeah, we're in the van right now, driving to Orlando from Tampa. So, not too bad, only a couple-hour drive.
Why did you choose the name Jukebox the Ghost exactly?
Unfortunately, there's not really a good story behind it. We all kind of were trying to think of a new band name in college. We'd been going under the Sunday Mail for a while,
okay.
And we wanted a new band name, and I suggested the word Jukebox, Ben suggested the word Ghost, and we just sort of sandwiched it together.
That works, that's awesome.
So Jesse sort of got screwed out of that deal at the time?
Well, Jesse's the...
Okay, he's got the.
Yeah, he gets the.
Yeah, that works. So for those who are going to be listening to the podcast who don't know, what would you say is like your vibe or your sound in one statement or one sentence?
Gosh, that's a good question. I mean, you guys have sure know that our music sort of spans the gamut. I would say a majority of our music is fun and has a piano. But,
yes.
Sometimes it's sad and has a piano, and sometimes it's angry and doesn't have a piano. So, but sure, fun and has a piano. If you look us up on Spotify, most of the tracks you'll hear fun and have a piano.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay, so we have both been loving Off to the Races, like constantly playing it in our headphones all the time. It's an awesome album. So I was wondering, what do you think for you guys is new about that particular album that maybe your past albums haven't brought to the table that Off to the Races has?
Well, there's a few things to make this record unique for us. One is just that we've been a band a long time, and so we can kind of cherry pick things from other records that we like and sort of find a way to make a big soup out of them. And so this record was sort of an attempt to do that. I think if you've been listening to us for a long time, you'll hear some of the quirky songwriting of our first record, a little bit of the kind of Beatles-y retro sensibility of the second record, and then some of the tight pop arrangements and different sounds of our third and fourth records. But hopefully, we're just trying to combine the things we do in a way that felt fresh. And I guess the new ingredient that was exciting for us was a lot of harmony. I think in other records we'd sort of shied away from it, but from sort of becoming a temporary Queen cover band every Halloween for the last few years, we've been doing this Queen cover show called Halloween. From doing that, I think it made us bolder with our arrangement choices and more willing to sort of flex our harmony muscle.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome. I would definitely encourage you guys to keep doing that because it sounds great.
Yeah,
those harmonies are killer.
It does.
I've got a question. I've got a question. What's the horse's name? What's its life story? Does it have one?
Horse doesn't have a name yet. It's a horse in search of a name.
Okay.
For sure.
Well.
So taking any suggestions.
The horse doesn't have a name? Oh, man. We're going to extend that out to everyone,
Diva
then.
Diva has been suggested, but I'm not sure that's the name. It's just a solid name.
All right, well, let us know if you guys decide to name it or if it names itself or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. And let us know if you think of a good name for a rainbow horse.
All right.
We'll be brainstorming. Okay, so I've been loving you guys' albums, but I have never been to one of your live performances, which is a shame. But since y'all are on the road right now, I was wondering, what are you guys, I guess, bringing to the live performance that might be different from, of course, the recording albums, that when your fans come to a live performance, they can expect to enjoy and get a little surprise from?
You know, it's funny. I think it's great that you kind of came to us from a studio setting, because I think most of our fans have come to us from seeing us live.
Really?
Awesome. Either open for somebody else or at a festival or having a friend drag them. yeah, I think we think of ourselves as fundamentally being a live band.
Yeah.
You know, because we've never been the kind of band that was had the budget to be a studio band. You know, we can't spend all year in the studio. We just can't afford to. So, live is always where we flex our muscle and kind of become who we are. So, yeah, we got our start playing, you know, fraternity gigs and benefit shows in college. And I think from that, it was kind of a trial and error process of, you know, learning what people like in concert, and it kind of defined who we are as a band.
Yeah.
Pretty, you know, we're eager to please. I think some bands maybe take it a little more seriously. Not to say that we don't take it seriously or, you know, don't write songs that come from the heart, but we're more, we want people to have a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Follow-up question, when do you guys think you'd be coming to Nashville again?
You know, it was supposed to be on this tour, but it got kind of delayed because of some scheduling stuff. So hopefully early fall.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be there whenever y'all are back in Nashville for sure.
Great.
Yeah. I saw you guys when you were at Mercy Lounge, I think, last spring or something like that, maybe last January. It was amazing, and I loved that a lot. So I'm hoping to see you guys again soon.
Great.
I have a question. This was actually sent in from one of our friends, Michael Tant. He wanted to know how you guys split up lead vocals and, like, who writes what, because you'll sing on some, Ben will sing on some, and then once Jesse sings. So, like, how do you guys split these vocals up, and who writes what songs, or is it all together? How does that work?
You know, I think we're taking a little bit from the Beatles rule book here, in that, you know, whoever's singing probably of it, you know, everyone has their own little contributions. But if somebody's singing lead, it generally means they wrote it.
Okay. Follow-up question here. Why doesn't Jesse sing more? Is that just like a it's hard to drum and sing? Or was it just like that one time and that was all you'll ever get from Jesse Christian?
No, I think Jesse's Phil Collins moment is just, it's just around the river bend, you know?
All right.
I think it's going to happen.
I'm excited.
Tell him.
Yeah, we're excited for his Phil Collins stage.
Yes. That's awesome.
All right, welcome back to Loggeria. We've done the movie section. Thank you, Emma. Our next section that we're going to be doing today is music. And we can talk about anybody, not just Jukebox of Ghosts. But if you want to, that's okay. I'll accept that.
I know Corey wants to.
Corey. Yeah, Corey. No. But Corey, what band do you want to talk about today?
So Jukebox of Ghosts. The first word of their album.
Oh, wow.
Strictly. Also. No, I'm going to talk about specifically this one song by the Little Brutes. It's called Make Our Own Way. And it's a pretty nice song. It's just pretty cool. I'm going to play a little bit of it. Ooh, 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 That's all you get. That's all you get here on La Guerrilla, because I don't even know if that was legal. So
I think it's legal because we're not getting any money off of this.
Yeah.
You don't know.
All right. So, but basically you can tell sort of the vibe of the song based off the part that I played. And it's just a real chill song about making your own way in life and things like that. And I thought it was pretty nice.
Yeah, that's dope.
Awesome. Never heard of that band.
Yeah, you should check them out. They have songs like this. So
beautiful.
Cool.
Emma?
Okay. So, have y'all heard of Sleeping at Last?
Yes.
Okay, so
Corey
I listen.
it's
Corey's favorite
what
band.
Is music?
So I listened to Sleeping at Last, some of their older stuff, when I was in high school, and kind of just forgot they existed. But they have been doing, well, now they're on Atlas 2. They already did Atlas 1. Have y'all heard about this yet?
I think, are you going to talk about the Enneagram songs?
Yes!
Katie Chappell already talked about that on an episode of Vloggeria.
Oh my gosh. Now I was going to talk about the whole thing, though.
Now what
the
you
whole
have to
project.
Do, what you have to do now is do a better job than Katie.
Okay.
Wow,
all right.
Wow our listeners.
All right, so I'm going to try and do better than Katie did. But okay. It's not just the Enneagram songs. So Atlas 2, it's really cool because they're releasing them one at a time. So there's one coming out every month, I think.
Okay.
And Atlas 2, it's like the first three are life, son, and daughter. And the next ones are all five of the senses. So touch, taste, smell, hearing, sight. Then joy, sorrow, anger, fear. So all the feelings. And then
those are the only feelings. It's only joy, sorrow, anger, and fear. Everything else is a combination.
What about hungry?
Nope.
And then mind, body, heart, and then they do the Enneagram stuff. So they're like building on these elements of life.
It's like a life pyramid instead of like a food pyramid.
And it's really cool because they release one song at a time instead of a whole album. And so by the end of the year, they'll have like 30 songs or something.
That is really cool.
I was going to say, you already named like 12 at least.
Yeah, I don't know. So, but it's their second one of these. The first one was like all of, he did a song for each of the planets and like each of the directions. Like there was a
cardinal
north,
west,
east, and south. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's really cool. And he does a really good job. And I listen to it when I want to get super inspired to do something
sounds,
cool, some big project.
Can we hear? Audible. Can we hear something?
Yeah.
A little bit of it? Please don't sue us.
I'm a big fan of Sun, so I'm going to do that one.
Okay.
If it'll play. Oops.
Show me who I am and who I could be. Initiate the heart within me till it opens properly.
So that's like, they all sound really different from each other, but a lot of them have a lot of piano and strings, so. Which I'm into.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, cool. I love it.
Well, the band that I'm going to be talking about is called Short Term. They just came out with their first EP, I think this week, actually. And I know about this band because I met them at a show in Nashville back in December. That's wrong. I lied. I don't know. I went to a show sometime in the last couple semesters. I think it was at Exit Inn, and I met them, and they were like, yeah, we're so-and-so. We just started this band, and they were just, like, at the show watching the same people that we were. It was Tiny Moving Parts and Mom Jeans and a couple other, like, Nashville.
Was it at the beginning of this semester?
It was. I don't remember when exactly it was, but it was when I went to Nashville with Luke and Brittany, and then I met them. They hadn't released any music yet. Like, maybe it was on YouTube or Bandcamp, but they just came out with their first album, and they're 16. Like, they're 16 years old, and they have this EP. I'm just going to play some of this song. I'm going to cut to the singing. So, they're loud.
They are loud.
They are loud. They're very emo also.
It's the opposite of Sleeping at Last.
It is. So, you can cover the full musical spectrum and then listen to Corey's weird music along the way. But they're a great band. If you like loud rock, especially if you like emo or punk, they are awesome. And they've got this first EP out. It's great. Follow them on Twitter. I think they're at Short Term, TN or at Short Term Band.
Is there a hyphen?
Do a search. Hold on a second. Hold on. Corey, you have to fill the space while I look this up.
All right. So once.
Talk about your shirt.
I went to the ocean. And apparently I bought a Hollister shirt there. At least that's
at the ocean?
Yeah, at the ocean.
Sally sells Hollister shirts by the seashore.
Coming back to the regularly scheduled podcast, you can follow this band at Short Term TN. So definitely check them out. They're really
good.
Yeah.
They're so
TN is for Tennessee.
Well,
that's correct.
That's
I know.
Amazing.
And they're like.
Good.
Yeah, there's some really good guitar in there. So good stuff. Impressive. With that, it's time for the second round.
AKA
the score.
Emma's Redemption Round.
Well, we'll see.
It is.
It should
That's
be.
What it's called.
I think we should name
the podcast
round
is
after
called
the round.
Emma's Redemption.
All right. So, what stringed instrument does Tommy play in Colorful?
That was easy.
Violin.
No. The last song on their new album. A ukulele, B a mandolin, or C a bass tuned up.
That was easy.
All right. Did I have to buzz in? I did anyway. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hit him with that mandolin.
You are correct.
All right.
Corey Adams is winning 3-1, having only heard Everybody Knows by Jukebox the Ghost. Honestly, this
so
is amazing.
Sad.
All right. Next question here. What did I take from a Jukebox the Ghost show that I went to in Nashville?
What did you take?
My freshman year.
Like
yes.
A physical object.
Physical object. Did I take a guitar pick, a set list, some of Tommy's spit, or both a pick and a set list?
That was easy.
Emma.
I'm going to go with some of Tommy's spit.
Oh. Corey, you've got one shot.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I'm going to go with the set list.
Nope. Emma.
Both a set list and a pick.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And now, what are the scores now? Is it 3-2? 3-2.
Yeah.
All right, this could be for the tie. How many full-length live albums has Jukebox the Ghost released?
There are no choices?
Nope.
That was easy.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say 4.
Nope.
Live albums?
Mm-hmm.
So not recording albums, just
right.
Live albums.
Full live albums, not EPs.
How many did you guess?
I'm not saying.
He said 4.
I'm going to go with 2.
That's not true. Corey?
3.
Nope.
1.
That's correct. Yeah! Wow. It is tied 3-3. That was round 2, Emma's Redemption.
Yes!
We'll see who wins in the very last round.
Did I call it? I'm prophetic.
I am hyped.
So,
I am a prophet.
I am too. I think we're just going to split the interview into 2. So let's get on to, let's listen to this interview. Do you guys want to listen to the rest
yeah.
of the interview?
Yeah, for sure, guys.
Corey, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
All right. Well, here is the second half of the Jukebox the Ghost interview.
Strictly business, nothing more.
As I held the door.
Held the door.
What a sight walked in. As two hearts started dancing, a little story begins.
Okay, so you mentioned Queen, and I mean, that's clear that that's an influence for you guys, but what other influences do you guys as a band take from?
You know, I think as a band, we're all really different people. In our music listening habits. The nice thing about Queen is it's one of the first times that we can all agree on something. So we're all pretty all over the place. And, it sort of depends on the song, too. I feel like that's where artist influences come out in a more specific, conscious way through specific songs. So, like, you know, I can tell you that Jumpstart definitely had some Queen influence.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
People Go Home and Diane. People Go Home was kind of my attempt to do like a little homage to like early Beatles. Diane was kind of my attempt to pay a little homage to the Beach Boys.
Yes.
But it depends on the song.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Now, Tommy, I heard at least a couple solo songs, and I've got The Fascist Really Got Me Down, like, on my iPod. So, do you have more solo stuff coming out, and will the others have solo stuff, or are these just, like, occasional breaks in between albums for Jukebox the Ghost?
Yeah, I mean, been part of the solo record. He was in college, like over 10 years ago. I've got a side band called Narc Twain.
I listened to them once.
A dystopian future themed, you know, rock and roll band.
That's awesome.
Jesse's got a side band called Jesse Dillon and the Scaredy Cats. where he's singing lead and playing guitar.
That's awesome.
We all write a lot of stuff, you know, and we only put out a record every 2 years with, you know, 10 to 12 songs. And so this record, Ben and I both came in combined with probably like 80 demos.
That's amazing.
So there's a lot of leftovers. Whether it'll end up on jukebox stuff or on solo stuff, you know, who knows, but...
Yeah.
There's a lot of music out there.
You could release like a Pavement album where the regular album's 10 songs and the extended edition is 712, something like
yeah.
that.
You know, I wish we had the budget to just record all of them, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the reason we record 10 is just because that's what we got in the piggy bank. But
right.
We'd love to record all 80 if there's some... billionaire venture capitalist listening to this program.
All right, well, the good news is we have lots of billionaire investor capitalists that listen to our college podcast.
Great.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll happen for sure. Okay, I have kind of a different question. What is the weirdest genre of music that you guys listen to, just on your own?
Weirdest?
Yes.
The most out of left field.
I think we all have our own little oddities. I mean, you know, like Ben listens to a lot of classical, which I don't think is super typical for rock musicians. I tend to listen to a lot of kind of scronky guitar jazz sort of
That's
stuff.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Jesse's been listening to a lot of like weird free jazz sax music these days. We all have our own little eccentricities that don't relate to the band at all.
That's awesome. If you guys could do a collaboration with another band or musician, or if you would like to do something, who would that be? Like, preferably living, but also dead. I don't know.
Let's see. I mean, Paul McCartney would be an obvious choice for me.
Ooh.
I would collaborate with him living or dead.
Good.
That doesn't matter to me.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so I'm curious about what your songwriting process looks like, because I dabble in a little bit of songwriting, and of course I always love to hear what more established songwriters are doing, what that process looks like for them. So what does that process look like for you in the band?
Yeah, I mean, you know, fundamentally it generally comes down to just sitting at a guitar and, you know, whacking around until you find something that sounds cool. But, you know, it depends on, you know, the phase of life too. I think I've been writing a lot these days by writing beats and then, you know, as a producer at home and then, you know, playing a bass line and then kind of writing around that. I've been writing a lot more around bass and drums.
Right, okay.
But that's new for me. So, you know, but generally it's sitting down with an acoustic guitar and just messing around until you find something cool.
So you don't usually start with a piano then, you start with a guitar.
Yeah, well, you know, I leave that to the expert.
Right, that's awesome.
Either for you, Tommy, or for the whole band, what's the most meaningful song that you guys have played or usually try and play live?
You know, I think, you know, once a record's done, I mean, the process of making a record, you end up listening to a song probably 300 or more times in various stages, you know, because you're just constantly adding things and tweaking things and... So by the time it's actually finished, I would say it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've had that experience where you've heard a song that you thought was good too many times, and it just, it became like not even music.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what it is at a certain point.
Yep.
You know, like that, you know, I'm going to use this example, so forgive me, but you know how, like, like, I think everyone heard Drops of Jupiter by Train when that song came out. I was like, hey, that's a pretty good tune, you know? And then you heard it 200 times, and now it's like, it's just noise. It's just a thing that happens. And so I think our own music sort of becomes that in a way. It's not to say it doesn't have meaning, but the point at which it had meaning was the inception of it and the creation of it. And every once in a while, you know, live, you get those moments where you're like, oh man, look at all these people, and, you know, you kind of remember what the song means. But I think in the, you know, we're playing it live, what's great for us is that the song becomes its own animal and can have meaning for other people.
Yeah. So staying on the live theme, where did you guys play your first live show, and what was that like for you guys?
I remember, I mean, when we were in our old band name in college, our first show as a trio, as the current trio, was at, was on the Quad, you know, for like the Fall Fest or something. I think we were like opening for the Pie Tasters, some ska band or something. I think a couple of us were, I remember I was really hungover, and it was not a great show.
Good.
That's so great.
It's all been up from there.
Good. So I know you guys play Queen covers at Halloween and then like towards the end of your shows, but did you ever play lots of other covers of other bands or just different things like that, or do you mostly stick to original stuff and Queen?
We've done a lot of covers in our career. We used to kind of have a thing for the Queen thing's kind of recent. We in the past we were known for doing Guilty Pleasure 80s and 90s covers.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
But then we kind of found the Queen thing and started digging that more.
That's good.
Yeah, we used to cover Whitney Houston, Donna Lewis, Shania Twain, Huey Lewis. You name it.
Will this ever come back?
Yes,
will we get an opportunity for like an 80s, 90s Jukebox the Ghost concert?
Well, part of the reason Halloween came about is because we were doing, before that we did Halloween shows and April Fool's shows where we would just do covers.
That's awesome.
Not Queen covers, you know, other stuff. But, who knows? Maybe it'll come back around. I mean, this tour we are doing a cover that is not Queen.
Ooh, we'll leave that up to the listeners to try and get a ticket to see what that is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is our last question for you today. Do you have any words of wisdom for an aspiring artist who might be listening? As, you know, an established band touring, are there any words of wisdom you might have?
You know, I mean, just maintain joy in what you do. I don't. If you don't pull a career side too hard of it, I think it can be really draining. But just remember that you like doing what you do, and do it for the right reason.
Yeah, well, that's perfect.
That's awesome, Tommy. Thank you so much for agreeing to this phone call. We appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, thanks for chatting. Thanks for the thoughtful questions.
All right. Best of luck on the tour, and hopefully we'll see you in concert soon.
Sounds great.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. See you guys.
All right. Welcome back to Loggeria. Thank you again to Jukebox the Ghost for allowing us to interview them and for just playing great music, for being a fun band. We really do appreciate that, and we hope to see you guys live soon, as Emma and I talked about there. So this being our last section here, we're going to talk about TV shows. Corey's freaking out here. He just like threw his head back. But I saved this section for last because Emma and Corey did not have their TV shows. So I'm going to go first just to give you a couple more minutes.
It's not going to be enough.
It's not going to be enough time. But last night I watched the first episode of the second season of Westworld. And I don't think we've talked about Westworld on here before, but even if we have, we haven't talked about the second season. Here's a brief summary. It doesn't make any sense at all. I watched it after having watched the first season. Maybe I need to rewatch the first season, but there's a bunch of characters that I vaguely recognize, and people say a bunch of mysterious things, and it seems to just be setting up a bunch of stuff, which is frustrating. But I was just very lost. I don't know how I feel. Corey, have you seen this yet?
No, I actually was just talking today. Seth recommended that I start Westworld, and I had not heard about
it. You haven't seen the first season?
No, I have not seen the first
season. Okay, so brief overview, just to buy you guys more time to think about TV shows as well. It's basically this – it's a book by Michael Crichton, and it was adapted into a TV show where there's this sort of theme park where humans can go, and they can interact with AIs. But the thing is, like, there are no rules in the theme park. It's the Wild West. So you can, like, do whatever you want, fulfill any desires that you have. You can just be any person you want to be. And it's really cool because, like, it's a park for rich people, basically, to do whatever they want in the Wild West. And it's really interesting because it asks the questions about, like, what makes us human and what AIs are good for. And it's a really, really good show. It's also super intense. And I'm hoping the second season picks up, but maybe I just need to get back into the flow. Learn who the characters are again, so on and so forth.
Wow, that sounds like a deep show.
It is.
I usually watch mindless shows, but
hey, I watch some too. Shot. Yeah, go for it. It's good.
It seems like it provokes social commentary.
It does. It does provoke social commentary.
Big
Thank
fan
you, Corey.
Of social commentary.
We all love social commentary.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is.
That is.
All right. So I'm going to talk about something that is not out yet, but is coming out. So. Everybody knows about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, right?
Yes. Oh, I mean, so good.
Everybody should by now. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is this great show. It features the actress, you know her.
Erin from The Office.
She basically, after she finished that project, she went on to do Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, where she's Kimmy Schmidt, the titular character. And it has been a great three seasons. I mean, there was... there's this one episode that even had this lemonade Beyonce like parody thing. It was great. It's been a great success, and the season 4 is actually coming out at the beginning of or at the end of May. So
I didn't even know season 3 was out.
Yeah, season 3 was out. I think in the fall.
Dang, I guess I just have watched 2 seasons. Huh.
Yeah. So the third season, that was the one with the lemonade and everything like that, came out in I believe the fall, and then May 30th is the fourth season, is the debut.
Oh my gosh.
So
that's amazing.
Get hype.
I am hype.
I've been told that if I was a character from The Office, I would be Erin.
Ooh.
So I feel a connection to her.
Okay.
So you feel a connection to Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes. To anything that actress does.
I mean, she's sort of the same person almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
She plays that one character.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep. I mean, but
it's a good character.
You know, we're sure you can do other stuff.
You're rocking it.
Yeah. We love it.
You do, you kid.
This is strange. But when you said TV shows, 2 things came to mind.
TV and shows?
Yes. And also, Fuller House, for some reason.
Okay.
I am the only person on Earth that likes Fuller House.
Interesting.
And
that is an unpopular opinion.
I watch
opinion.
It when college makes me sad.
Okay.
And I love it. But I wanted to know if you guys love it.
You loved it?
Oh, he's cringing.
Okay, so... So me and a friend of mine have had multiple conversations on Star Wars Episode 8.
Okay.
And we have gone back and forth over why people hate it, why people don't like it, blah, 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 blah. I don't like it either. And there was this thing about familiarity and how people like stuff based off how familiar it seems and how much they're able to predict what happens and things like that. And I think some of that same phenomena is happening with Fuller House because it's not the same, but it's similar, and it's sort of like ruining a memory.
Though,
sort of
for
thing.
The same reason that I still like watching cartoons when I'm sad, you know? Am I the only person that watches cartoons when they're sad?
No.
Okay, it I just makes you feel good inside because there's nothing wrong with the world.
There's always a solution.
It's so sad.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like a callback to childhood where you can like...
I'm really feeling...
I don't know. Every conflict is introduced and resolved in the same episode.
And what is the actress's name that plays DJ?
Candace Cameron.
Yeah. Okay. I love her. Like, everything she does. So that's the other thing.
Yeah, she's pretty good stuff. She's usually in Hallmark is her...
And I love Hallmark. So she's won my heart.
She's always in a Hallmark movie. But yeah, Jodie Sweetin and all those, they're pretty good actresses.
You're like,
so yeah, for sure.
I like it.
The other thing
that came to mind was Sherlock, because that's like probably the TV show I've seen the most
Sherlock
times.
Is great. Yeah.
And I'm like ready to begin it again.
Absolutely.
So
you should do it. You should follow completely
your heart. Different from Fuller
House.
Are
they not? Are you? So you're just watching it over again.
Over and over.
They
again.
Finished, right?
Oh yeah. And it made me so sad when that last season they declared it the
solid
last season.
Solid ending, though.
But they didn't have to. They didn't have to.
I think they should have ended it earlier.
I mean, it's better to end it on a high note than
it sort of even ended on like a middle note. Like it peaked like season two, three, and then like now it's like okay, like it's good now.
Yeah.
It was like it's season four was about as good as season one. I would give it that.
All right, that's enough about Sherlock. I'm ready to get
fine,
to round.
Fine, fine. Round three. What is this round called? Corey.
Emma's redemption. Redemption.
Plot twist.
No.
All right. This round will either be called Emma's Redemption, or Plot Twist. So with that, let's get into these last three questions. What song does Jesse Kristen, the drummer of the band, sing in? Is it A, Hollywood, B, Lighting Myself on Fire, or C, Jesse's Song? Corey.
B, Lighting Myself on Fire.
That is not correct.
What were the first two options? Or
the options were, and this is going to go to no one if you guess wrong, because there's only three.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Lighting Myself, Hollywood, Lighting Myself on Fire, which Corey just guessed, or Jesse's Song.
I'm going to go with Jesse's Song.
Yes.
That's not even a song.
Dang.
I just
I
threw that
like,
one in there.
I feel like Jesse's they would name a song Jesse's
yeah.
Song.
Well, I'm sorry, like that. But that goes to no one. So let's go
copyright
on.
Copyright issues, Corey. Stop singing.
Corey, you can't sing. All
nobody
right.
Pay for this episode, no matter what
where,
we
do. Please don't pay. Please don't pay us. Please.
Where does Jukebox the Ghost hail from?
That was easy. The United States.
I'm going to need more specifics. I'll give you one more shot.
Are we looking for a state or a city?
The fact that I can't really answer that is going to give you a hint.
They talked about their college, and I don't remember what
city,
college.
New York City, New York. Mm-mm. Okay.
We're not looking for a... we are looking for a city, but it's not particularly a state.
What?
Washington, D.C.,
we're looking for a city.
Corey
but it's
got
not,
it.
That's
it's
not
Washington,
fair.
D.C.
That's not fair.
The District of Columbia.
You looked it straight in
say?
The eye. We're looking for a city, but it's not particularly a state.
Oh,
I didn't know I could guess.
What do you mean you didn't know you could
guess?
Because
you were looking at him still,
I
and
know.
I thought all right, it was
hey,
all
hey,
his turn.
Hey,
that's
hey,
the
you
craziest.
Still have
a,
there's still
hey,
one question.
Hey, everybody calm down. All right.
I am not calm.
Here's the last question. And you're both going to get a chance to answer this.
Okay.
What?
What should the name of Jukebox the Ghost's horse be that's on the cover of the new album?
Are you going to pick the winner based on how good the name is?
Yes.
Okay, then you go first.
Corey, since you're in the lead, you have to go first.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
And you have 10 seconds to answer.
Chestnut. That is my final answer. I locked that in.
All right, Emma. All you have to do is beat Chestnut.
Okay. Well, I met a guy this weekend who is, he has crazy eyes all the time. I don't remember his name. He's from Alaska. His cat is named Jelly Sandwich, so I'm going to go with Jelly Sandwich.
All right. Let's give these
that's
answers. Let's give these answers to the judges.
His cat is really in real life named
all right.
Jelly Sandwich.
The judges have come back with the result. And the winner is Jelly Sandwich.
Yeah!
Which means we have to go to a final question.
Da, da, da.
What are the three members of the band Jukebox the Ghost?
There's not going to be choices.
No, there's not. Whoever can give me the most.
Jesse?
Gosh, I knew that one.
All right.
This cannot play because I talked to them.
Braden.
There's one that starts with a T. Tom.
I'll just ask a different question.
It's like this.
Sorry,
this
Jukebox
was
the Ghost.
So bad because right. You asked it and I blanked.
He was totally trying to give it to you.
He was. I missed it. I still would have named Noor, though. I would have gotten Jesse.
I feel like nobody should win, and that'll be the plot twist.
That's a stupid plot twist. That's the saddest plot twist ever.
Plot twist. Nobody wins.
We're all losers.
You can go home and watch Fuller House. It'll be okay. Yeah.
Everything's okay when I watch Fuller House.
We have this until 9.
I didn't come up with another question. Hold on. Let's see.
All right, guys. We want to take time to shout out to...
All right.
Madero Coffee Roaster.
I have the final question.
Okay.
It is tied 4-4.
Okay.
Emma McLeod versus Corey Adams. This will determine...
You said my name first, which means...
Whether this round is Emma's redemption, or plot twist. Which of the following 1980s songs has Jukebox the Ghost covered and put on Spotify?
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
are we
all
ready?
About Spotify covers.
Choice A, Take on Me.
Oh, I hope it's that. That's my favorite 80s song.
Choice B, Walk Like an Egyptian.
Oh, that's good too.
Or choice C, Beat It.
Oh.
For the win.
Those are all... those. I can see them doing any of those three.
I'm going to put it all on the line. I'm going to go with Take On Me.
No! What's that face? You can't see it, but...
Corey...
I literally have no idea.
I don't know what this means.
I'm sorry, but that's incorrect.
Wait, are you real? Are you for real?
Oh, I'm for real.
Oh, yes.
So Emma McLeod.
Okay, so it's Walk Like an Egyptian or...
Beat It.
Beat It.
I'm pretty sure I've heard it.
I'm pretty sure I've played it for you. Emma McLeod.
I can see their sound more with Walk Like an Egyptian, but I feel like that's also kind of a strange song to do. So, I'm going to go with Beat It.
And you're both wrong.
Dang it!
Again. Which means I have to come up with yet another question.
Really?
Please,
they did
stay
Walk Like
tuned.
An Egyptian?
They did.
I'm going to look it up.
They did Walk Like an Egyptian.
That's so interesting.
While I look for another question, here's Walk Like an Egyptian by Jukebox the Ghost.
I can totally see them doing that and it being... Yep, I already know it. Oh
no.
Again, please do not pay us.
All the old paintings on the tombs, they do the sand dance, don't you know? If they move too quick, they're falling down like a domino. All the buzz I'm in by the now, they got the money on the bed. Go crocodiles, they stamp their teeth on your cigarette. Four attacks with the hookup, I've said.
All right, phone's down.
Oh, no.
He's worried we're going to cheat.
Googleable.
Which of the following four album names is not a Jukebox the Ghost album? Let Live and Let Ghosts. Everything Under the Sun. The Mad Professor and His Mother. Or Safe Travels.
Which one is not an album name?
That was easy. I'm going to go ahead and say Let Live and Let Ghosts because that just sounds odd to me.
Let Live and Let Ghosts is the name of Jukebox the Ghost 2008 first album.
That was easy.
Emma.
I'm going to go with Everything Under the Sun.
Everything Under the Sun was 2010. So now, Corey is about to determine... Who wins this album?
All right, just can you give me the last two choices real quick?
I can't.
Okay. The one about the guy and his mother or whatever.
You think that The Professor and His Mad Mother is not their album?
You didn't give me the choices again. Is that one, and then the other one was about...
Safe Travels.
Okay, so you can give them to me again.
Maybe I can, maybe I can't. The Professor and His Mad Mother, or Safe Travels. One of these albums came out in 2012, and one of these albums never existed. Corey, to determine who wins this round, give us an answer.
Safe Travels.
And the winner of this contest, by default, because Corey sucks at guessing,
Yay!
Is Emma McLeod, because
yes!
Safe Travels came out in 2012. The Professor and His Mad Mother.
It was the one that I totally guessed first, and then I hesitated.
And I think I changed the name of it the second time you asked me. But that is our game. Emma McLeod, two-time champion.
Games.
You just win.
There's something
like
inside of
DJ
me.
DJ Khaled. All you do is win.
I am DJ Khaled.
Well,
the name of the last round was Regret. I think that is
Emma's
name.
Redemption.
The name of the last round is Corey's Redemption / Emma's Redemption. So, thank you all so much for listening to the Logoria podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much again to Jukebox the Ghost. Amazing man. Check them out on Spotify, iTunes, and on tour right now in the summer and then in the coming fall. They're a great band. They're super great live. So yes. With that, we appreciate you all. Thanks again. My name's Clark Hubbard.
My name is Corey Adams.
And I'm Emma McLeod.
Don't sue us.
Don't sue us. Please, please don't sue us.